Welcome to AUP Radio, a melting pot of voices and ideas. This evening we again bring you The Arab and the Gay, The Liberty Show, and Let's Get Lit.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Arab and the
Gay.
We're so happy to be here. This is actually our final episode of the year.
God.
Where has it gone?
Well, boy, I don't know.
It's been
That was
been
a great
fun.
Answer. That
yeah,
was a great answer on
that
my
was
part.
So deep.
Yeah, thank you.
Riveting.
Thank you. I know. Can you believe the semester's almost over?
I can't believe this decade is almost over.
This decade is almost over.
Like, and it's wild.
I mean, and hey, that was a great guess. The topic of our show today, essentially the topic, what we have been asked to do sort of is provide a retrospective or something like that. Is that the word, a retrospective?
Yes, sir.
On the last decade.
I mean,
because it's going to be 2020.
If you better believe that I'm going to walk around and be calling people old sport, because that's going to happen.
Really?
I'm going to live my best Gatsby life. You better believe it.
I've never read nor seen The Great Gatsby.
I'm going to look away from you now. I can't look at you anymore. I cannot believe you just
no,
said
wait,
that.
No, wait. I take that back. So, I mean, in high school, you had to read it your junior year, and that's the year I was in France.
Okay.
Which was 19, that was 20 years ago. Literally 20 years
Moment
ago right
of silence.
Now. So, but then senior year, for some reason, I said I was going to read it and I just didn't. So I watched the movie, but like,
ooh,
but this was before
shortcut.
this was before the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. This was like
oh, that's the
OG original one.
Yeah. The kind of boring one.
It was kind of boring.
I didn't see it.
I don't really remember.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a couple of years ago. This was in two decades ago, not within the last decade.
Jeez. I mean, when you think about it, I'm 24 now, so I was 14 then.
14, and I was 26.
I was a baby.
What were you doing right now when you were 14? Had you come back from Jordan yet? Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, I had just moved back to Miami. I moved back to Miami August 1st, 2009.
Really?
Yes. And I remember that I was going to start high school and I was going to be a freshman. And I was actually talking about this on my last trip to some friends. And I was like, man, like when I moved back, I was like super like good girl. Like I had a giant pink like JanSport backpack and I was like walking around like, hi, are you a freshman? And I didn't know how to use like some terminology. So I'd like write it down.
Oh no, I love that.
Yeah, I was so cute and like, like, are you a senior, sir? Like, can you help me? Do you know where the library is? It was really sweet. And now look at me, I'm like a monster.
I feel like that's unfair, but I'll bet you still had the same personality though, didn't you?
I mean,
or were you shyer?
Definitely. I mean, I still had attitude, obviously, because I've always
clearly
had an attitude.
Clearly,
thanks.
Clearly.
I've always had a nice little attitude.
That's okay, so have I.
Good.
People
good.
Have always been
own
like,
it.
People are like, Kevin, you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
Good.
Well,
like
maybe,
it. I mean,
maybe.
Look at me. Hello.
That's true.
I mean, can you blame me? Anyway.
No, I can't.
But yeah, so I was still like really shy. I obviously did not know how to do anything. American schools are very different from like Middle Eastern schools, even though I went to a British school, but still it was like a completely different environment, totally new experience, new studies. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea who to talk to. I was like completely like the new kid, even though, and I went to a school of like 2,000 kids.
Yeah, sure.
And then in Jordan, it was like couple hundred.
Oh
like,
yeah, if it was like private British school or something,
yeah,
there probably weren't that many.
And it was like from K-1
to, so like you didn't have any friends when you got back.
I did not know a single soul. Like,
no,
I,
wait, were you guys living in Miami before you went to Jordan?
We were.
Oh, okay.
But I was like 8 when I left, and so, nobody went to high school. Yeah.
And like, you know, I would find it really, yeah, you're probably not keeping up with the same friends you were had when you were 7.
No, yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh, yeah. Do you remember when we used to like play in the sandbox together and like go roller skating? Yeah. Do you want to be like friends now that we're in high school?
No, yeah. So it was like completely new. I had to start from scratch. And then I actually had to change high schools after my freshman year.
Oh, did
you? So that was hard again.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you move? move? Or?
Yeah, I moved away. I moved to like a
different
new
part of the...
Right, the new part of a city.
The Miami metropolitan area.
Right. And so they were
Ma-ma-ma.
Like, you're not in this...
Mama. Did they ever...
No.
No, I made that up.
No, yeah.
Miami, if you're looking for an abbreviation for your metropolitan area, just know that the gay of the Arab and gay...
wants you to call him Mama.
Mama.
Yeah.
Mama.
It's beautiful.
Oh my God, where do you live? I live in Mama.
Oh, I love that area.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
It's so fab now.
What part of Mama? Fort Lauderdale?
Ew, absolutely not. I'm sorry. If you're from Fort Lauderdale, get off. Fort Lauderdale is not Miami.
People
okay?
talk about it like...
Gross.
Is it?
Gross.
Why is it gross?
It's just not Miami. Miamians are always like... Oh, so are you? What part of Miami are you from? They're like, oh, I'm from Fort Lauderdale, and it's like, oh,
so
turns away. So like, not Miami. It's like saying you're from LA, but you're really from like Riverside or something.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's like an hour away.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. That's
so,
fair. But people say, well, but people know Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, they
at
do.
At least
they do. It's like up and coming now. I think like there's a lot of money being invested into it now because the housing market was like really cheap.
I think there are a lot of gays there, and so I think maybe that's
maybe I think so actually
I think that's why I've always kind of known about Fort Lauderdale. It was like, I feel like it's
well, there's a lot of gays on South Beach.
Yeah,
that's like the gay capital of the world.
Well, I don't know if I'd say the world, but I know it's definitely the like gay capital of Miami.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, I've never been there.
Honey,
all
you
I know is that
would love.
There would probably be a Cuban man or two.
Oh, yeah.
Who, oof.
So 10 years.
Me 10 years ago right now. 10 years ago right now, I was getting over being like really, really, really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Chicago. And I was a leasing agent for Chicago Apartment Failure. I mean, Chicago Apartment Finders.
Freudian slip, y'all.
A friend of mine used to call it that because that's sort of how it felt.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Thanksgiving was happening. And I was living with my friend Heather. And we had our friend Elif and Heather's sister and our friend Jessica. And I think whoever Jessica was dating at the time came over. And we had such a fun Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget. Yeah. It was, I'll just, the after like we were done eating, they were like, oh, should we go downstairs and walk? Or get downstairs, go downtown and walk around Michigan Avenue. I was like, no.
Oh.
No, there are going to be 18.5 million people down there. No, thank you. Hard pass.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed at home and they went down and they came back and they were so frustrated because there were so many people and they had like gotten into a fight and like I was like, so glad that I did not go.
But question for you, because since you were like pretty like well aware at that time, what is something like significant that you remember about 2009 besides the crash, of course?
Well, that was 2008. 2009 was the year that I moved back to Chicago. I was really sick. 2009 I was really sick. I got sick in Peru and my body just didn't fight it off and I was in denial. Anyway,
yeah.
2009 was the year I went to Peru, took a trip to with my family and we did the Inca Trail.
Cool.
To Machu Picchu.
I absolutely love Peru. Yeah.
It was an incredible, incredible trip.
Yeah.
And then let's see. Oh, I was taking math. I was taking remedial math at Truman Community College. Well, you know what I realized with math is it's something that if you didn't get it at the beginning,
yeah, you're not going to get it later.
I mean, it's something that builds on itself.
Totally.
And if you don't get it at the beginning, I mean, I cheated my way through math in high school. Mm-hmm. So
same.
You know, I mean, when you correct each other's papers, I'm just going to erase that.
Yeah.
Did you correct each other's papers?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. And it was like, oh, is that the way it's done? And they would have like a formula and I had like 2 + 2. And I'd be like, oh, right. Totally wrote the same exact thing. Give me back my paper.
Yeah. That's why I'm not an engineering student.
Yeah. Same.
But that's fine. And then, you know, let's see, 2010 came. And what happened in 2010.
I remember that New Year's celebration like very, very, very well.
Really?
Yeah. I remember like what my friends were doing, what I was wearing, like what I looked like.
Did you still have your JanSport backpack on?
You bet your I did.
I'm here to party, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! I just remember I bought a bunch of fireworks for me and my friends, and we had like my family, like I invited a bunch of friends over my house. It was like three or four people. And we had a deck outside in like the backyard, and on the deck was we had like a large backyard, so there was like a lot of grass, and then it was on a river. It's like a little, or like a canal actually. And I just remember we were like,
it was a pool.
No, okay. Don't make fun of me. It was a canal.
It was a ditch.
It was cute.
So a ditch with trees?
I mean, yeah. That's all Florida is.
Ooh, sorry, Florida.
No, I love you, Florida. I'm just kidding. I take that back. But yeah, and I remember we were just like dancing on the deck. I had like a little speaker. I thought I was so cool.
Oh, well, you were cool.
You know what? I think I was.
I'm sure you were.
I was wearing a pink t-shirt, like the Victoria's Secret, like their pink brand. Because, you know, they like branched off to
the pink.
It was like their teenage brand.
I remember that.
And so it had like, art is love, not war on the back. Isabel just looked at me and gave me like the sad, like the shake, yeah. And like the, oh my God.
Well, yeah. Isabel did that. I vomited a little bit in the back of my throat. It didn't quite come
okay.
up.
Hop off, okay? I was 14. Okay? I was a child. Literally, I was a child.
You were a child. Yeah. 14's a child.
14 is... And I was like super like, don't talk to boys. Like, I was like the nicest young little girl.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
What
I know.
What happened?
Excuse me. My parents may be listening. No, I'm kidding. Mom and Dad, thanks. Bye. Get off. Thanks.
We've got people cracking up in the studio.
That's when you know it's good.
Oh, total non sequitur here, but you know, both Savannah and Isabel are going to be leaving us after this semester, and so I would like to, you know, just give a very, very random and heartfelt, loving shout out to the two women who like got us going on this.
Totally, who brought us together.
So,
and it's kind of. And if you're also looking to, actually, one more thing I want to add in, if you're looking to work for the radio, you have every right to. If you have some experience, let us know. We need someone to take care of us out here.
Yeah.
We're just the talent, okay?
Well, I think we've got some ideas. There's some movement happening.
Well, if you're interested.
But if you're interested.
Okay.
If you're interested and you're listening.
I love it when Kevin does that.
I know. Well, I'm so crabby right now.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
What's
In
wrong?
Fact, I was going to text you earlier today and be like, hey, if I snap, like, don't take it personally.
Okay. Fair enough.
As long as
there's a warning, yeah. I don't mind. I'd be like, okay. He's going to like curse me out later. I'd be like, okay, Kevin, that's fine.
I am. So, you know, a few weeks ago. All right. We'll get back to the whole like decade retrospective thing. But a few weeks ago, we did a thing on like, you know, how to take care of yourself during midterms. Mm-hmm. Well, now finals are coming, and you know, and it's finals are even harder than midterms.
Totally.
We just, I would do well to. We have a big presentation tomorrow night, a big group presentation.
Oh Lord,
it's been mildly frustrating to say the least.
Yes.
And I like have been like a. I texted my friend today, and I'm like a live wire.
Yeah.
Just like waiting.
I must say though, Kevin is one of the like co-pres or like co whatever
project manager
project managers of this project. And honestly, it has been quite stressful, so I will give it to him.
Thank you.
He definitely deserves like a break. And it's we're presenting tomorrow. It's like in front of the entire like board.
No, they're not coming. It's thank God.
Oh
no,
yeah.
It's just gonna be Earhart and Kath and Kate and Elena Berg, who we don't know.
Okay.
And then I think Safia's coming and
okay, well that's fine. Well, yeah, I mean it's still a lot of important group. People though. But we'll be fine. We've got it. We're a group of management students. I mean, we should manage, right?
Oh. I mean, yes, we should.
We should be able to manage. We'll
yes,
do
we
it.
Should.
We're going to kill it.
This is us. This is us managing.
This is us managing. We're doing it. But I do want to come back to the 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just want to think about how like every moment from then has led up to this moment.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of crazy how, because I think about this all the time where I'm like, man, like, I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't met Kevin. Like, if I were in Paris and I hadn't met Kevin.
Duh.
Yeah.
I mean, ditto.
That's, yeah. Okay.
Duh and ditto.
Okay. But yeah, so like, it's just kind of crazy to me how our, like, our stars aligned, our paths crossed, And it's like how, like, I don't even know how I even got the idea. Well, actually, I do know how I got the idea of coming to Paris, but it's like how I was actually supposed to be here a semester earlier. I was actually supposed to be here in spring of 2019, but I ended up deferring. And I was like, no, I think I'm going to come in fall. So this wouldn't have even happened.
Probably not.
Yeah. So none of that would have even happened. I just think about like everything that from 2009, it's just like, oh my God, like everything I went through in high school and then in undergrad, and then it was like working, and it just kind of feels like each year or like each like couple of years was like such a large chapter of my life. And then like every year I felt like I've grown so much from the year before, you know? How do you feel?
Well, I just, what's funny is I feel like, you know, on a day-to-day basis, how do I want to put this? It's like there's day-to-day life, which seems, you know, really small, and sometimes it doesn't seem like, you know, things really happen. But then when you like step back and now you're like, oh, 10 years. Well, hell, 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, I had just moved back to Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to be there till 2014. And then I moved to California. I've had a couple of relationships. Yeah. I've like had some drug abuse. I've traveled a lot. I had ups and downs with my family, ups and downs with myself.
Yeah.
God, what else have I done in 10 years? I mean, made and lost friendships. And
I mean, ditto to all that except the drug abuse thing, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, well, you can leave that one.
I'll save that one for you.
You can skip that one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like on a day-to-day basis, you're like, God, I'm not doing anything. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? But then when you look at the aggregate, when you step back and you really look at...
Everything as a whole,
it's like, shoot.
Yeah.
Shoot, I have been busy,
absolutely. I feel that way all the time, because I feel like when you look at
all the jobs I've had too.
Well, me too. I got my first job when I was 20, and now I look back and I'm like, God, I have like a number of work experience under my belt. Like,
you know, I need to do another list, but you know, because most of my life I've always had two jobs at once. And
oh, really?
Last time I did a list was a few years ago, and I'd had like 37 jobs in my life. I've had like
37?
Yeah. Yeah.
Two jobs at once? What were you doing?
I mean, I mean, in San
Love
Francisco.
That answer.
No, I know, right? It was very detailed. I mean, you know, in Chicago, I was like working in real estate, and I also had a restaurant job. And a lot of it was just because I like grew up with the idea that you just worked. I mean, my dad was really a workhorse, and that's something that was like valued in my family. And I, you know, the thing that I didn't know was that, you know, working for the sake of working is not helpful.
Yeah. No.
And then, you know, I've always traveled, and so like a lot of my working has been to like pay for trips. And,
yeah,
you know, then you know, for the last 5 years, it's been like restaurant work, and it's like one restaurant job in San Francisco is like not quite enough. So you have two.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, yeah, it's always been like something and then a restaurant or two restaurant gigs or yeah, it's just been a lot of work. This is the first time it's the first time I've never worked.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be really weird, but it's been great.
It's fine. Yeah. It's kind of great.
I'm like, now that I've sort of like figured out how to balance everything, I'm ready to have a job again. Because I think it would actually help me balance my time even more.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, 10 years. Let's see.
Question for you.
Years.
I actually have a question for you. What is the most memorable experience, good or bad? I mean, besides the whole drug abuse thing.
Yeah.
But what is like the most thing you remember from these past 10 years?
Oh boy.
What's something that's like very vivid that stands out to you?
Moving to California.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I do wish I hadn't moved to San Francisco, but when I moved to LA, yeah, it was end of February 2014, and I was in California visiting my dad and stepmom, and then my up to LA to, they were in San Diego for the month, and then I went up to Santa Monica to visit my friend Erica. And on the flight on the way back, I mean, first of all, I had such a good time, and it just like fit. It just felt comfortable. And so on the flight on the way back to Chicago, as I'm journaling, like I start sobbing. Oh, and the woman, I was in the aisle, and like the woman in the window gave me some Kleenex.
Aww.
And like, I just, like, I was sobbing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I do not want to be in Chicago anymore. I don't belong here. I don't like it. It's freezing. I'm not happy.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Arab and the Gay on AEP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:20.
And the next day I went into work and I got laid off. I mean, I had just started a job as a leasing director for a property management company, making 70 grand. I mean, it would have been a good job, but it wasn't working. and the owner called me into the office and said, and I quote, "Kevin, the position that we created for you is one that we no longer want to follow through with." And I looked at him and I said, "Thank you." And he just like, he gave me this look and I'm like, "No, really." I'm like, "I want to move to California and I wasn't sure how to go about it." And you just gave me my answer. So I left
the
office. Oh my God. I left the office and like the sense of freedom that like pulsed through my body.
Yeah.
And then I went to my property management company who I rented from. And I'd had three different apartments with them. And I told them what happened, that I wanted to move to California. And she was like, "All right, hold on. I'll be right back." So she went and like fumbled around my account. And she comes out and she's like, "We'll let you out of your lease," which never happens.
No.
But that's where I believe in paying it forward. Because when I was a property manager, I had three tenants. I had three tenants who needed to move.
And you just let them out of their leases.
And I let them out of their leases. Free and clear. It was like during the summer, I knew I could re-rent their place in a second.
Yeah.
Get a high, you know, it was. And so she told me that and I started to cry. I cried and cried and cried. And then in about 2.5-3 weeks, I got rid of everything I owned and got in my car with my cats and drove out to Los Angeles.
You drove?
Oh, yeah. I took a 4-day trip. It was wonderful.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was wonderful.
Oh,
so, and I mean, just the sense of freedom.
Yeah.
I had so much freedom.
Yeah, it really is. I actually have a funny story.
What about you?
I have a funny story. I think this is going to be a good one. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but since we're talking about work,
okay,
I'll give you a little work story. So I haven't always been the best employee.
I could see that as probably being true.
Okay, look.
I mean that supportively.
They were hounding me, okay?
Wait, was this the office job you had? The like little like travel cruise line thing?
Oh my God, yeah. Okay, listen. Don't judge me.
No.
Guys on the radio, don't judge me. And Isabel and Savannah, don't judge me. Okay?
This is a judgment-free zone, but I love this preface.
I kind of love this story because it honestly shows so much of who I am. Okay. So I was straight out of college. I had just graduated from my undergrad.
Oh, no.
And I needed a job. And my friend was working at a startup company. It was like a little tech company. It was called Gobi.
She's so tech.
Yeah. It was like a travel company. It was like an online travel company. It was like made to compete with Expedia, Viator, and like all these little like TripAdvisor like kind of things where it's like you could book an online trip. Like if you want to go to Paris, it was like, "Oh, okay, book it online with us. And then we pay like the travel guide in Paris and then we'll put it together for you." And literally I hated that job. I was an intern.
I know.
I was considered an intern. I got $14 an hour, which was like, okay.
That's
was
not
like,
terrible.
No, it's not. That's actually quite good for Miami.
Yeah.
Because Miami wages are pretty.
Yeah, sure.
And so,
oops.
Yeah. Sorry. And
there'll
so,
be a bleep later.
Yeah. So what happened? Oh yeah. So I hated the job. Like I literally just sat down in the desk every single day and did a bunch of data entry. And it was so, for 8 hours a day, my butt was always numb. Like I hated that job. And I was like so depressed because I was like, man,
this is it?
I was like, I just graduated. What am I doing with my life?
Like this is it.
Yeah. And then I was like, just stay until you can go to Paris. I remember I was just like, save money, just stay and save money. Right. And then they were like, "Hey, we're going to merge your jobs with another department. We're going to merge your department with another department. And you guys are going to get more work for the same pay."
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, "What? Like you got, first of all, we're interns. We don't get benefits. We don't get anything. All you do is literally just paying us." Yeah. So, because obviously the company was still a startup, so they didn't really have any money. And so they, this is not one of my proudest moments, okay?
I love this already.
So they merge our departments, and the girl who was in charge of that department, she was like demoted, and she was like some 30-year-old, like she had like some sort of like Peter Pan syndrome where she looked like she was really young. She looked like she was like 12, yeah, but she was really like 34.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little strange. And she like was like an English major, like she was very into writing. And so the job that they had merged for me, or like that they had given me now, was that I had to write an entire description for the tours. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And I remember I kept arguing with her. She would come up to me and be like, hey, you didn't put a comma here. Like, what is that? And my boss worked remotely. So I would call her and I'd be like, listen, she's ridiculous. Like, you need to speak to her. Like, this is getting crazy. You guys are asking us to do like 60 a day. And she's like holding me back for doing 3. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, there's no way we're going to put out as much as you guys want. And so kept arguing. I sent out a pretty nasty email because she kept on like attacking me through email, and she would copy everybody in the company.
Oh no.
Yes.
She was one of those.
She was one of those. And I was like, why are you copying everybody? Just copy our boss. Like, stop. And so she copied everybody. So I was like, I'm done. I was like, you are not going to talk to me like this. So
reply all.
I was like, reply all. Dear blank. She had a terrible name as well, but it was just like, dear you, like, please understand.
Was it Gretchen for Bratislava?
It should have been, honestly. But it was like, dear you, like, you cannot speak to me this way. Like, I understand like your need to like, you know, perfect everything, but honestly I'm trying to put out as much as they want, and that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what's important right now. That Monday my boss came in and was like, hey, we have to let you go. Just like that. And I was like, excuse me? I literally was like, excuse me? Are you kidding me? And I started going off. And I was like, you are absolutely ridiculous. I'm the best employee you have. You are so dumb. Like, you do not know who you're dealing with. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I just started raging on her. I was like, after everything I've done for you, after everything we've been through, like, so ridiculous. I left crying.
Yeah.
Because they didn't let me get my stuff. Yeah, they were like, your stuff's waiting for you at the door. I was like, I still have stuff in there. And they're like, no, just go. Like, just leave. Literally, like, just leave. Like, as if I was like a dog.
Yeah, that's what they
like,
do.
Terrible. And I was like, I haven't even done anything. Like, this was your job. You should. And she was working remotely. So it's not like she thought, like, hey, let me come in and see what the issue is. Right?
Yeah.
Like, let me see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So then I was out of a job for like a couple months, but in that month span, I find out that the company's going under.
Yeah.
And so I decided to text her. And I sent her in all caps. That was one of the most low and petty moments of my entire life. Oh my God. It was honestly so damn funny. Like, it killed me. And then like the next day I saw my coworkers, because they were all on my side.
Of course.
And even the head honcho called me the next day and was like, hey, I didn't know she was going to do that. I'm so sorry. I would have intervened.
Oh.
Like, that's how you know, like, they messed up. Yeah, I was why are they not, like, why didn't she talk? And anyway, it made her look really bad. But I guess that text made me look really bad.
Whatever.
But I was honestly like, whatever. Like, you deserve it.
You know what? When the property management company that I worked for, when that division closed,
yeah,
when it went out, my boss was like, don't worry about burning this bridge. It's okay. Because, you know, people always say, don't burn bridges.
Absolutely.
But, like, she was so furious. She's like, don't worry about it.
I honestly thought that too. I was like, I'm totally going to burn this bridge. I was like, I'm never going to work for people like you again.
What is another thing I wish I had done over the last 10 years was steal more laundry quarters.
Wow.
There was no, when I was a property manager, I had several buildings that had coin-op laundry.
Uh-huh.
And there was literally no oversight. And so I would, like, you know, I would steal, I stole like hundreds of dollars worth of laundry quarters because I would take them to the bank, but I would just keep a bunch for myself.
Oh my God.
And like, in retrospect, I could have like never deposited anything and nobody would have batted an eyelash.
Okay.
I also like,
That's crazy.
I wish I'd stolen more from them.
I mean,
I know that's petty and tacky, but I do.
Another story that I have, actually, when I was working as a property manager, actually, they kind of deserve this one, though. And this was on them. But when I was working as a property manager, I had a tenant who she hadn't paid in 3 months. And you can't evict somebody until 90 days are past due.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, like, you have got to go. And then overnight, she had 5 units. I worked as a commercial property manager. And so she had 5 units, literally emptied the next day. There was trash everywhere. They left it completely trashed, like garbage everywhere, like paint. Like, she had like a t-shirt pressing company, so there was paint, like trash, like papers, like designs, logos everywhere. And so I was looking and I saw a register, so I open it and I find $100 in there. And so I was like, well, that's going into my pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah.
And that was a few days before my birthday, actually.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, that was a pretty nice little tip I got. But I was still really frustrated with them. But I mean, karma, what can I say? I mean, when I just think back on like the past 10 years, I just think of like all the jobs I've had and like how they've been like really...
And the experiences.
The experiences, how they've been like so like...
All the things.
Teaching and like how much I've learned. Ooh. And like, even though they were really bad and all the managers that I had were pretty bad for the most part, I learned so much. And I think that's like... I know it sounds like kind of cheesy and lame, but it's like, that's really how you grow. And it's like,
yep.
I'm taking a leadership class now, and every time she we have a discussion board, and she's always asking us to talk about like past work experiences. And so every time I have a new experience that I can share with her. And so it's always taught me like, man, like, I really don't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to act like that ever. Mm-hmm. And I know now like all the right ways to be a proper manager.
Is it unavoidable? I don't know.
But it's like, how do you know? Like, how do you know how to, like, when you're doing a good job, and like, how do you know if like, maybe that's just the way you are?
I don't know.
It's like, just don't be mean.
I just really had a thought that like, you know, 10 years from right now, it'll be 2029, assuming,
ew,
you know, like the world doesn't like blow up before then or whatever.
Please God, don't do that.
But like, I'll be 46. I'll be 46.
That's going to be so fun.
I mean, already I'm closer to 50 than I am 20. So that's true.
Ooh.
Somebody said that to me a couple of years ago. They're like, oh, just think you're closer to 50 than you are 20.
Ooh,
I guess maybe it was last
30,
year. No, you're not. You're only 24.
True. Never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, she may have learned a lot, but math?
Not my strong suit.
Not one of them. Not one of them.
But I mean, I am close to 30. Like, every time I think about it, I'm like, man, I'm in my mid-20s. And...
Honey, you still have so far to go.
I know, but like, when I was on this trip, I was like with a bunch of young people. So I just got back from Ghana, actually. And so when I was on this trip, I was with a bunch of young people, and they really weren't much younger than me. They were all like 18, 20, like 21. And all the advice that I just had for them, even though I'm not much older, like literally it's only a few years, I was like, write down everything that you want in your 20. Like, when I was 20, I made a list, and I was like, these are all the things I want for myself. And up until now, I've always like just tried to like knock one down every time, and it's kind of worked. And so it's
maybe
just,
I should do that. That's actually really good advice.
It's really, Warren Buffett does that. So that's where I got the idea. So yeah.
Good old WB.
Yeah. Love him. And like, so that's why I feel like my 20s have been so good to me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm honestly like super excited for what the next decade is going to bring. And I really, really hope it's just as good as this past decade has been, because I mean, I don't know. I feel very blessed. Like, I feel very, very grateful to be where I am, because I mean, hey, we're in Paris, we're getting our masters. Like, we're on the right path, you know?
Yeah.
Education is always the right path, at least for me. That's the way I see it. And like, you know, we're doing great things, and I just hope that everybody kind of is doing well as well. And if, you know, if maybe if you've had a different experience, maybe you should share it with us and let us know. And, you know, what do you think, Kevin? How do you
I
feel?
I think that everything you're saying just sounds really nice.
Yeah.
It sounds like women who just got back from a trip. No, but it's true. I mean, I don't know. We are on the right track. I guess, you know, as you saying that, like, you know, I wish somewhere along the way, maybe I would have done like a list of what I want the next 5 or 10 years to be. I've never done that. Mm-hmm. And even now I wrestle with such doubt, because it's I don't know. Boy, I'm gonna have to sit on this one for a while.
Put it out there.
I'm gonna put it out there. And the other thing I have to put out there is we're coming to a close now.
Yeah.
And I think that was that our like.
We're getting shoved off the radio, you guys. We don't want to leave. I want to stay on this mic forever.
Hold on. So happy 2019 coming to a close. Yes. Happy beginning of the new decade. Good luck to the world. Hashtag impeach Trump. Although Pence isn't any better, so I don't know.
I mean, at this point...
But we're going to, I think we got to sign out now. Isabel, are we signing out now?
Guys,
we sure are.
We love you so much.
So much. And this has been another, oh my God, I'm a little bit sad right now. Actually.
I know, same.
This has been another and last episode of The Arab and the Gay for 2019. You will hear from us again. I will have been in India.
Yes. We're going to hear all about that next semester.
Love.
Yeah.
Love. And so, yeah. So this is The Arab and the Gay.
And make sure you tune in to next season.
Starting the end of January, beginning of February.
It'll be great.
That's it. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, everyone. Enjoy your time. Be safe. We love you. Thank you so much for listening. Signing out, The Arab.
And the Gay.
Bye. Bye.
Hello and welcome back to The Liberty Show. This will be our final episode of the year 2019. I am Andrew Callahan, and today I'm joined by another futsal teammate of mine, Mr. Daniel himself. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, first of all, how long have you been a student here at AUP?
I've been a student since 2015, mm-hmm. and this is supposed to be my last semester here, I think.
Okay, cool.
So, I'm technically almost graduated.
Ah, that's a good feeling, I would assume. Yeah. So have you been playing sports here at AUP your entire time as a student?
Not my entire time. I started my sophomore year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been like 2.5-3 years.
Okay, cool.
Since I first started.
Why did you originally get involved with the sports teams?
Well, I've always loved sports. Like, I really wanted to play and like be active.
Mm-hmm.
I think like my first year here, I didn't have like the perfect schedule to fit my futsal practice and games.
Yeah.
But then after that, like, I could, so I just joined the team.
Nice. So you've only played futsal here the entire time?
Only
correct?
Futsal, yes.
You were our captain last year.
Yes, I was.
Big Captain Danny.
Yeah.
So you've been pretty active in the sporting community here. Have you seen, like, a general change in the sporting community with your time here or no?
I would say so, yeah. First of all, like, first thing that comes in mind, I would say it has gotten like bigger in terms of, I mean, we've added a dance team, mm-hmm. in the athletics club or like area, how would I say that?
Yeah.
So that first, and I also see like teams, there's like more cohesion among the teams, like,
okay,
like we're really getting along well with each other, not only between teams but also not only in the team but also between like other teams, like football, volleyball, mm-hmm. basket, dance, equestrian as well.
Do you see more teams like doing like, we're supposed to do like team bonding activities, mm-hmm. do you see more teams just doing those activities together? Or is it sort of like teams still do their, like, do you see more teams showing up to each other's games to support each other?
I would say so. I think it's definitely more than in the past. But I can talk about futsal only. I think we have like very good team chemistry and like we have lots of team bonding activities.
Yeah, we do.
And I can really tell we really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But also with other teams compared to previous years, I see more like players from volleyball or basketball or equestrian coming to see our games and vice versa sometimes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How would you compare like the sports community that we have now to like that of when you first joined the sporting events here at AUP?
I would say it definitely has gotten bigger.
Yeah.
More players, more teams. And in general, I think it's a very nice community, and like it I would say it's so much fun with all the teams and getting to know all the people from different teams and from your own team. So it's fun, I would say.
Would you find it that, like, the players that you play with, whether they're American or from other nationalities, you see it becoming more of a diverse sporting community? Because I feel like most of the students who just come here come from the U.S. and they're like, okay, I'm going to continue playing the sport. But then we have other students who come from different parts of the world and they want to start playing a sport then. Do you see that happening more often?
If you're just joining us, this is The Liberty Show on AAP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:40.
Definitely, I would say so. Like, in futsal, it's, I would say it's pretty diverse.
Okay.
And every year we have new players coming in, like players leaving.
Yeah.
And every year there are players from different nationalities. Like, this year we have plenty. I would say mostly Americans, that's true, but also from other nations.
Yeah. Another thing that, like, I've been here a year. Mm-hmm. One whole year I survived.
Yeah.
Big up on that. We've talked about, like, AUP Gives Back Week and whatnot. Do you see, like, more organization when it comes to that now? Or just, like, when we organize events? Like, last year we did the UNICEF football game.
Exactly, yes, I remember.
I think it's cool to look at something like that. I mean, I don't know what it was like before I got here, but I like looking at that and seeing how we could have built off of it. Do you see that happening more?
I would say so. My first year here, I don't remember, or at least I wasn't as involved because I wasn't a captain my first year here. Then my second, and like for 1 year I was a captain, and then I really got to know everything better and like how it works, like organizing these events.
Mm-hmm.
And I actively took part in those, like the UNICEF football game that we played last year, which was really nice, and we managed to gather like to reach our objective.
Yeah.
And so I would say we have more events like those, and it has gotten better, I would say.
Were you a part of the athletics department, I mean, this year we've talked about it on the show briefly, the dance team is going to go to Berlin. And I know that in the past we've had other trips, like the athletics department had a tournament in Milan. Were you a part of that trip?
No, I wasn't in the trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like stuff like that, do you see, first of all, what did you know about the Milan trip? Because was that here? That happened while you were here, correct?
I think I wasn't part of the team yet. Like, mm-hmm. Right after Milan, I became part of the team.
Okay.
As far as I remember.
Did you hear stories about Milan at all?
Yeah, I've heard stories. It was a great experience, like, from most of the people, and it really helped, like, the team bonding. Not only, like, teams in specific, but also different players from different teams, like, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And it created, like, a big AUP athletics community, and it was fun and like a very nice experience.
I think that's something important that like our athletics director pushes and that we all follow, with the whole building community within the teams and within like different players from the teams. I think it'll be interesting going forward, having us go to more of those tournaments should the opportunity present itself. I think that's something fun that we have at this university.
Definitely, I would love to do so. If the opportunity comes up, like, I would love to go in those kind of tournaments or trips, not only with futsal, but with all the other teams.
Yeah. You talked about how we have new teams that keep coming in or shifting in and out. Like, we just added the dance team last year.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that the only, like, new team that you've seen come in? Or, like, when did things like the wellness room or the yoga club get instated?
I think it has been 1 year or maybe more, I would say, for the wellness club. If I'm not mistaken, I don't want to tell something which is not true, but I think it's been like a year or year and a half, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, clubs like running club, which we consider to be part of athletics as well.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So your time here at AUP in the athletics department, you've seen lots of changes happening. Do you have any predictions for the future real quick?
I think it's possible that we introduced maybe more sports and more clubs which can be included in the athletics communities, like running or people who have a passion for a certain sport, but we can't really have a team, but there's always a possibility of having a club.
All right.
So, and we can integrate that into athletics department.
Well, hopefully that happens going into the future. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was Mr. Daniel, everybody. He is our futsal, most senior futsal player, actually. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
This was the last Liberty Show of 2019. We will see you again in 2020. And I am Andrew Callahan. Have a great year.
Welcome back to Let's Get Lit. My name is Mara.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we are going to be looking at student publications from a decade ago.
Today we've got two editions of Paris Atlantic, the fall edition from 2009 and the spring edition from 2009. It's wonderful that they used to have two editions now.
Yeah, they only do one now. But can you imagine how much work that would be to do two in
yeah,
a year?
Yeah, that's and they're beautiful. It's a lot of work that goes into them. Anyway, today we wanted to start with, we wanted to read you a couple of poems as a retrospective at this end of the decade. So we're starting with this poem by James Harris called Above Your Means. The year has passed like a fly in jam, like a jammed fly, a fly in jam, struggling, frail and frightened, wing deep in sweet sand, the stuck buzzy man. I love this as a way to look back on the year. It just, when I read it, it just hit me. And this year, I guess, hasn't been particularly stuck for me, but I've had years where it really has felt like we're just wading through jam and sweet sand. And also that I'm a stuck buzzy man, yeah. Just kind of trying to fight my way out. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, I really like them. And also, I think the really interesting part about, I think it was the spring edition of the Paris Atlantic, one of the ones that we're reading from, was the way that it was structured. It was done, like, how would you describe, kind of, you had to rotate it as you read in order.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why they don't do that still for all the publications, because it makes it just so interesting. Like,
it was a cool feature that you can open it either from the back or the front, and the front and the back are the same thing because halfway through they flip. Mm-hmm. So I had a book when I was little that was Hansel and Gretel, and you read it from one side and it was the story of Hansel and Gretel from Hansel and Gretel's point of view, and then you flipped it and it was the witch's story, the witch's point of view, which was great, and I have loved that format ever since.
Yeah, like, I think of course you can't see that on the radio, but I don't know if they're online somewhere, but I feel like people would really be interested in seeing that because it's really fun to read, and it actually makes you want to keep going and see what there is. I mean, along with, of course, there's beautiful art in there too.
Yeah, there's some stunning images. If you're an alumni actually, or an AUP student, you can come by the library in the K, and we've got the whole archive, all the archive of all the student publications is there. I really highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so the second poem that we're going to be reading is from, I believe it's from the fall issue. It's by Sandra Giedman. It's called On Reading Lorca. To drown in green, an abrupt end would, and some would say, but to me it would be a bath in lichen, mossy and soft, rolling in gray-green waves of eucalyptus leaves. I would cover myself in palm fronds, cool undersides against my bare legs. Olive colored pools floating over loamy soil, seafoam waves lapping at my sand covered feet, washing away khaki dust, poison green, hemlock green, shady glens, arbors, vines curling and twisting, cliffs of jade and malachite. I'd wrap myself up in the green blanket of my body, glazed through algae eyes, Zamponia music carried on wind high above mountains, rising from the ocean floor, reaching to stab the swirling emerald sky.
I love that poem.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, except, yeah, I like it. I love what are the words to describe, like, the colors and, like, the feeling.
Yeah,
like,
the lushness of it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt that way when I read 2017 issue of Paris Atlantic, pink cover. That's how I know them, the pink cover, the blue cover, the gray cover. And the editors were Melissa and Alfredo, and it was just, it was so packed full of stuff, and all the fonts were different and the images were rich, and it was just like reading that poem. It was really a wonder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, when I read Roaches too, it Roaches, this, this past publication was so, it was so packed full of things. And then you, every page is a different surprise and you have no idea what's coming next. It was just great.
Yeah. We really liked, and I found that with Paris Atlantic as well, like that it really varied, and every time you turned the page, it was a surprise. And like, it's really fun to use like different fonts and kind of just play around with all of that because you can.
Yeah. These
and,
magazines are not boring.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Like, that's why they're so popular. Yeah. You know,
this third poem is also by James Harris. It's called The National Bath and feels very poignant right now. All England in a bath, and the sailors floating through the soap, the politicians' rubber ducks and bath mats for the coast. I mean, I...
What can we as say?
As Americans, what can we say? But we have a lot of sympathy for the Brits and the current political situation. And for me, for the American situation, certainly, there are times where I have to imagine everyone as these kids playing in a sandbox or a bathtub, like completely screwing everything up and getting water all over the bath mats and clogging the drain with soap chunks and whatever else. And then I go back to reality and have a crisis. But
yeah, I liked that because I thought it was interesting to see the kind of what would a poem about Britain today be about?
Yeah.
I don't imagine that it would have the same kind of tone as this one did, like kind of playful and not unworried.
But this, at the same time, I think it depends on how you read things. I mean, you could read this poem very cynically, mm-hmm. or you could read it, you know, happily, and all England is a bath, and and we're all playing together, and or you could make it really metaphorical and have all these different ideas of analysis and things. And I mean, I love that about writing and about poetry, that it can be timeless. It can be very time sensitive, and it can also be very timeless.
Yeah, that's exactly that. It stands the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
So another poem, we have a collection of poems from the spring PA copy. These are by Orit Gat, and they are titled Bed Poems. The first is called Junctions. The floor tiles were assembled wrong. They flip in the corners. So do you. You can't sleep, creating parallel zigzags. But for a moment, you are awake, or only half asleep. And you pull me near, caress my sides, and whisper, that way. It's been a while since you were in my arms. I really like those poems. I like all of them together, so we should just read them like in conjunction with each other.
Here you go. Here's the second one. It's called In the Last Few Nights We Went to Bed Early. Dark or not dark street lamps, lights mix with our hugs. I can't sleep, toss and turn, from side to side, toss and turn, in the half bed left.
And the final is called Waiting for His Call. Like the sunburnt skin on my stomach, I slowly peel our last nights together, scold myself. It will only widen if I continue. Still, this itch, expectations are endless.
I think these are beautiful. And I must say, I love titles that are as long or almost longer than the poems.
Yeah.
In the last few nights, we went to bed early. I think it's so fun. I mean, I'm also, you know, I also love titles that are one word or just very, very, very poignant three words or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, I've also noticed like that reading this poetry out loud is the way that the sentences are structured is really unique, and it creates a different meaning. And it's hard to read out loud if you haven't practiced because it's kind of all over the place. But I think actually reading it in print brings another meaning besides from just listening to it.
Yeah, I think poetry and writing, but poetry specifically, can take on so many different lives. Again, talking about the National Bath, you can have different metaphors, you can have different tones, and then in with punctuation and sentence structure, you can have so many different ways of piecing together a poem. And it depends, that depends on if you're reading it out loud, if you're reading it out loud while you're reading it from the page, if you're just reading it from the page to yourself. And it's a wonderful play on things.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, I'm kind of surprised that AUP doesn't have a club or something dedicated to spoken word, because it does seem like there are a lot of, is that what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Spoken word. Because it does seem like there are a lot of students here that would be very interested in that.
Maybe we're uninformed. Maybe there is. But
oh, yeah. Well,
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. Hey, if you're out there, advertise.
Yeah, we don't know about you. But I think, you know, people look down on poems a lot.
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't know
sometimes
why.
This, like, angsty teenager stuff. Yeah,
too, like, pretentious or whatever. Yeah. But they're so beautiful, and they can be done in such amazing ways.
Even and you really have total freedom.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. just... Yeah, I think that's the best part, is that it doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't... You're just writing.
Yeah.
But you're structuring it in a different way.
I mean, on that note, I think that we need a little more involvement in writing here and in publications. We were looking through the archive when we were looking for the 2009 PAs, and it is full of publications. Yeah. I mean, there's PA, I'm forgetting their names, but one is Scissors and Tooth, and that was the Writing Lab publication. And we had been talking at the Writing Lab about reviving it, and it's a lot of work to do a publication. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. But, you know, if there's anyone listening who really wants to get into publications, really wants to do their own media, check out the archive and see what's still there or what has been done before, and see if you can revive it, because there is a market.
I think people should definitely, if you're interested in starting a publication, it is a lot of work, but it's also so rewarding, and it's really fun, and it's not like that much work, I don't think. I mean,
it's a good kind of work.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, there are always publications being created at AUP, and like what Les Dépaysantes, I think that's pretty new.
Dépaysantes, Ibu.
Yeah, Ibu.
Roaches.
Like Roaches, yeah. There's a lot of publications that are starting to come out that are kind of more specifically geared towards certain subjects, but still have their own place here.
Yeah.
And of course, we can continue to expand on that. Because
and some of the old publications also were specifically, you know, business papers or social sciences or anthropology. And there are spaces for that in the current publications, but there's not a space devoted to that. So if you want to get your papers out there, even if there's a paper that you're like, whoa, I did a really good job on this, and I can see my peers did a really good job on this, I don't know, come together as a class maybe, or with your friends, and say, hey, let's just put this together in a magazine format, maybe get some funding and put it out there.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my 2020 wish.
Yes.
It's very weird to say 2020.
Yeah, I was like, that's a bit far away, right?
It's like saying 2009. Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that I've talked to a lot of people recently. Maybe not a lot, but enough people recently who have told me, oh, I want to write, but I'm not a writer, or, yeah, it always seemed fun, but I kind of, you know, I'm not that good at it, or something like that. And I always say, please write. There's nothing, you have nothing to lose. You don't have to show anyone you're writing, or you can show millions and millions of people you're writing. I mean, you have, it's for you, and you should write for you. And even if you think it's bad, even if someone recently said to me, oh, I'm a writer, but I hate journaling. I'm like, yes, so do I. And I'm now 70,000 words into a book. So anyway, so write and create student publications.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Here's our last poem by Gerald Glynn. It's called Twilight. Elephant strolling homewards, ghostly heavy through the bush, pauses to twitch an insect off. The safety of a tusk may as well be impeccable for the rendezvous at dusk. then pushes on, enticed and drawn by the undefinable, unmistakable, distant hint of musk.
Perfect way to look forward to the new year.
Yes. And the twilight in 2019. Submissions are open for Paris Atlantic and Roaches.
Yes, please. If you want to submit, just email to anything to roaches at ADP.
If you don't want to submit, get over your fear and submit anyway.
Yeah, we'll see you in the new year.
This has been Let's Get Lit. Have a great day.
Me, Mara.
And me, Sarah.
Have a great day.
AUP Radio is produced by Savannah Rowe, Fiona McMurray, Elise Chauvel, and Isabel Guigui. That's me. Our theme music is by Jill Chavitz and Oliver Henry of Chateau Rouge. That's all for tonight on AUP Radio. Tune in tomorrow for more, and have a great night.